A reading from Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verses 11 through 25. Every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since then has been waiting until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us. For after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days," says the Lord, "I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds." He also adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but of encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Here ends the reading. This is the holy gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the signs that these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This may take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Jesus starts today's gospel in destruction and ends in birth pangs, offering a chance to see how ends and beginnings happen together as a pair, in fact, in tandem. Rarely do we have an end that doesn't bring along a beginning with it. All too often, though, we tend to tightly grip some dead and dying thing, clenching our hands around it, hoping to keep it from passing away. And this clenching action causes us to miss the new thing that God seeks to begin in us. Too often, we expend our energy trying to keep stone on stone while Jesus seeks to birth a new thing in us. A few Sundays ago, we heard of a rich man who comes to Jesus, seemingly interested in following Jesus. Except when faced with the reality that something must die for something else to be born, the man's not a fan. More to the point, the man feels sad and leaves Jesus. Perhaps he's sad because he wants a new thing to begin in his life, yet is unwilling to receive it if receiving it means that something in his old, comfortable life must die. When Jesus asks the man to release his grip on the wealth that has a firm grip on him, a release that would enable the man to receive the new thing that Jesus seeks to begin in him, to birth in him, the man holds back. Either the lure of his riches or his own love of his own comfortable, dead-end way of life holds him back. Or maybe it's both. What about you, though? It's easy to sit here and watch me on this video and say, well, I would give everything, Pastor Bryant, for Jesus, absolutely everything. But let me ask you, honestly, have you? Honestly, do you? What is holding you back? What's holding you back? If it's not wealth, then what is it? You know, it can be anything. It can be your cell phone addiction, your love of distraction. It can be your love of people pleasing or the sense of importance you get from stirring the pot. Could it be your love of your job, your family, your home, your hobby, your sports fanaticism, your political affiliation, or still could it be something else? What dead and dying thing do you so tightly grip that so tightly grips you that it causes you to miss the new thing that God seeks to birth in you, to begin in you? Where do you expend your energy trying to keep stone on stone when Jesus seeks to do a new thing in you? Are you expending energy in making an idol out of your family and out of the life that you seek to provide your family, over-programming the children, over-programming the family, over-programming the family's schedule, which is actually sucking the life out of you, causing you to follow life's busyness rather than the life-giving Lord Jesus Christ? What new thing might Jesus birth in you, begin in you, if you were to release your grip on all of that over-programming so that you stand open-handed in a freed-up space to receive the new thing that Jesus desires to birth in you, to begin in you and in your family? Are you expending energy in keeping stone on stone in your efforts to stay comfortable? You know, comfort rarely brings adventure and opportunity. Comfort only offers more of the same. What new thing might Jesus birth in you, begin in you, as you let the stones of comfort collapse so that you stand open-handed in its rubble to receive the new thing that Jesus seeks to begin in you, to birth in you, in your family, and in your congregation? What idols need to fall? What temples need to come down? What must die as some new and life-giving thing is born? Is it your, I think it should be done this way, thinking? Is it your feelings of inadequacy? Is it your concern with image? Are you and what you refuse to let collapse and die keeping you from receiving whatever new thing God seeks to birth in you? Is it getting in the way of you following Jesus? What dead and dying thing do you so tightly grip that so tightly grips you that it causes you to miss the new thing that God seeks to begin in you, to birth in you? Where do you expend your energy trying to keep stone on stone? when Jesus seeks to do a new thing in you. Martin Luther pens what becomes the anthem of the Reformation. In verse 4, Luther says, "Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also." To follow Jesus means that goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. Goods and kindred and mortal life can all keep us from following Jesus as we ought. They can keep us from actually receiving the new thing that God seeks to birth in us. Won't we defend our family, our property, and our own life with a vengeance? Absolutely, we will. With all of that passion in play, and it is, make no mistake, do you believe that family, property, and love of our own life can hold us back from following Jesus, from receiving the new thing that Jesus seeks to give us, to birth in us? Don't believe me? Don't think so? Then pray this with me right now. Jesus, whatever it takes for me to receive the new thing that you wish to birth and begin in me, if it takes the collapse of the stones of my family, property, and life, then knock down the stones, Lord Jesus. Hear my prayer. Not so easy to pray, is it? It's easy to sit here watching me on YouTube and say, "I would give everything for Jesus, Pastor Bryant. Oh, yes, I would." But honestly, have you? Do you? What is holding you back? Jesus says, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come, and they will lead many astray." It is not just other people who lead us astray. Sometimes it's the very thing or the very things to which we so tightly cling that we find so tightly cling to us and lead us astray. What leads you astray? What needs to die so that something more life-giving might be born in you? When we let go of what holds us back, what leads us astray, what keeps us from following Jesus, a new thing is birthed in us. And since it comes from Jesus, it is so much better than anything this old world has to offer us. It's so much better because we have so great a high priest over the house of God who already knows what we refuse to let die, what we let lead us astray, what we allow to hold us back. And Jesus, our high priest, knowing all of this, absolutely all of it, still loves us and lovingly says to us, "I will put my laws in your hearts, and I will write them on your minds, and I will remember your sins and your lawless deeds no more." No holds barred, no holding back.